Well, this morning is the first Sunday of Advent, and some of you may be wondering, what is Advent? I assure you this morning that it's not just some thing that the church made up. Advent is a way of marking time. Advent has to do with waiting, anticipating, and preparing ourselves for the coming of the Lord. It's certainly, this season leads us to that arrival of Jesus that we celebrate at Christmas. But it's more than looking forward to a day on the calendar. Advent literally is derived from the word Adventus, meaning coming. Advent is about the coming of Christ. This is the story that we need, especially in these days, that Christ is coming. A true story. Christ has come, but Christ is coming. It is his story, but it is also our story this morning. But this is a different story than the world would tell. All right? The world likes to push a different narrative. The world likes to tell a different kind of story. The world wants to push on us a skewed version of love. Right, in recent days, you've probably seen a lot of advertisements about your happiness and what you deserve. The world would tell us it's all about being happy and being content. And over the last few days especially, the world would tell you that this is the time. Don't miss this moment to get your crock pot at 4 a.m. on Black Friday. Don't miss it. This is the message of the world. Now, if you bought a crock pot, that's okay. Should I tell you some of my favorite recipes? Just if you need to practice. But this is not the message that God has for us this morning. The world wants us to think it's all about what we don't yet have. And now, there may be some truth to that, but that is not the truth. The truth is that God has come and that the Messiah will come again. So it's not about what we don't have this morning. It's about what he has done. So Advent isn't just looking back to an event that happened in the past. Advent means coming. So this is the season of Advent. This is the season of waiting, preparing, and anticipating his coming. Because he is coming. God has come, and he is still coming again. But what I love this morning is this beautiful reminder that not only will God come again one day, but that God comes to us today through the person of the Holy Spirit. His very Spirit comes to us here and now. And so we do prepare and we do anticipate. We do look back and we do look ahead, but let us not miss this moment when God comes to us today. So Advent and these next few weeks are more than just the gathering of the church. It's more than just being with friends and family, and it's even more than our wonderful children's programs and our services. It is about the very coming of God, God breaking forth into our lives and into our world. So our message this season is that it all begins with God. All that we are, all that we have, all that we hope to be, it all begins with him. So as I was thinking about these weeks leading up to Christmas, I thought it would be important for us to begin at the beginning. Because the story doesn't just begin with us. That is something we need to break free from. So often we think the story begins with us. And again, the world would tell us that it is about all, it's about you. It's all about you. But the story doesn't begin there. I was thinking about the example of a married couple this week. When does the story start for a couple that gets married? Does their story begin the day they first meet? No, their beginning was way before the very first day they met. All kinds of things happened that laid a foundation way before they ever meet for the first time. So did that story begin the very day they were born? As we think about it, and as you think about your own stories, you might think so. Sure, it started the day I was born, but in reality, there were a lot of events and circumstances that led up to your birth story. And on it goes. You see, we have a long story, and each of our stories started way before we were born. We all have a beginning. Now, it seems a little strange, maybe, to be thinking about our own beginning, but we need to get things in context this morning. We have a beginning, and we'll also have an end. Right? This life that we're living right now will eventually come to an end. So what will eternity look like for you? We get these things into their proper context. And to do so, we need to begin at the beginning. And the beginning all begins with Jesus. Right? The beginning of all things, but your beginning, it begins with Jesus. And without his beginning in your life, you have no end in him. Without being born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so certainly we're going to lead up to the birth of Jesus over these next few weeks, but let us remember what that birth means for us as his people. Let us remember who Jesus grew up to become and what he did for us on the cross and the power that is available through the resurrection of Jesus. So let's go to the beginning, because if we're not careful, we'll misunderstand the grand story of God. Right? If we're not careful this morning, we might begin to think that the story of God starts in a lowly manger with the birth of Jesus. But in reality, God was present well before his coming, before his grand arrival into the world. Just like God is present before you even know him or realize who he is. So I want us, over these next few weeks, to be in the Gospel of John. The very beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1. So if you've got a Bible, a phone app, open up the Gospel of John in the New Testament. This is how John begins his good news, the gospel, with us. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed before anything else. The Word was first. Your birth was not first. The birth of Jesus was not first. The Word was first. Not only did it exist, but it was with God and it was God. He was with God in the beginning. So who or what is this Word that John is writing about? Well, John begins at the very beginning. Unlike the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he doesn't begin with the story of John the Baptist, the forerunner. And he doesn't begin like Matthew and paint the story of the history of the Israelites leading up to Jesus. No, John begins at the very beginning when there was only God. It's powerful. And it's good for us this morning. You see, our beginning must be the same. Our beginning happens when it's only God. But our story begins way before we're ever born. Our story begins when there is just God. You can't go back any further than before creation, right? You can't go back to a point before there was God. God is the beginning. And John chapter 1 kind of echoes Genesis 1, and we can look at Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the very first words in the Word of God to us, in the beginning, God. God was the one who existed. He is the one who created everything that we see. And so our beginning this morning can only come through Him. This word that John is writing about is life and meaning. Without the word, nothing is understood. And you could make the argument, if nothing is understood, then it might as well not exist. Through Him, all things were made. One commentator said, the word illuminates and enlivens creation. Jesus existed before creation, and He is the Creator. John says, in Him was life. The Word gave life to everything that was created. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. I love the way that Eugene Peterson writes it in the Message paraphrase. Creighton's going to put that on the screen. I love the way he writes this. He says, the Word was first. The Word was present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without Him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. So in our own lives, we struggle with decisions we should make and what we should do with our lives and what direction we should go. All the while, the very life that is the light for us is present and waiting on us to go to Him and ask Him for direction and guidance and wisdom. And yet so often, if you're like me, we just put our head down and we try and figure things out on our own. John is writing this to us so that we'll begin to understand this Jesus, the one who would come and be born in a manger. This very Jesus is the beginning. He is the Word, He is the Creator, and He is the life. His life brings light to everyone. So without Jesus, we are in darkness. The light shines in the darkness. Jesus shines brightly. His light shines even before we recognize it. I'm so thankful this morning that His light that shines is not dependent on me. His light shines freely. In these first few verses, John is writing what is known as the prologue. But John the Revelator, probably the same author, writes at the very end of Scripture, in the book of Revelations, he writes the epilogue. This is the beginning, but John also writes the epilogue in Revelation 22. He says, Jesus says, He is the bright and morning star. He is the one who comes in light, and at the end of all things, He remains the bright and morning star. There might be darkness, but it cannot overcome His light. So what we see right now is the light of Christ shining brightly. And we can be confident this morning that His light will continue to shine. It shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The darkness has not, and it cannot overcome it. So why are we so worried all the time? Why do we get worried in our own journeys? If we understand that He is the life and that He is the light that shines brightly, why do we get so worried about our situations when we could look to Him? He is the life light that blazed out of the darkness. The darkness can never extinguish it. This light is a gift that shines. It does not occur naturally to humanity. But it was spoken forth by Jesus himself. In Genesis 1, in the second verse, we see this picture of the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Some translations would say the Spirit of God is hovering over the chaos. As we think back to the beginning of creation that we see around us, we can have that image of God, His Spirit, hovering over the darkness and over the chaos. Much like God is present to us, hovering over us, even when we are living in darkness, even when we're not aware of His presence, He is there. And in Him is life and light. So His light is this gift that confronts the world. We can't create this light. We can only receive it. Man, that challenges me. We can't create this light. We can only receive it. How often in your own life have you tried to create your own journey? How have you tried to make the way yourself? But He is the way. So in Him is life, in Him is our beginning. The Word is the source of life, both physical through creation, but also spiritual. His life brings light to everyone. John will use this word life 36 times as he writes this gospel account. For John, Jesus' ability to grant life to those in darkness is the key issue. He is the one who shines light in our darkness. He is the one with the ability and the authority. Why? Because He is the Creator. He was there in the beginning. So John writes about life and light. And it is light that makes life possible in the physical world, but it is Jesus' light that makes salvation possible. Jesus is the Messiah whose light has dawned over the darkness. And He is the one that Isaiah would write about. In Isaiah chapter 9, many of you have heard this, especially this time of year. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And later in Isaiah 60, he says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. So I ask you this morning, have you seen the light? Is His light shining in and through you? Because if His light is shining in your life, it's something that you can't contain. Right? It's not something that you created. So it's not something that is of you. It is of Him. It is His very presence in your life, and you can't contain it. So if His light is in your life, it's going to shine. So is His light shining in and through you? Because it is a light that does not go out. It is a light that continues to shine. It does not end. It cannot be defeated or overcome. Now John is writing this account, these words that we see after the resurrection. So he knows how the story goes. He knows that there is a beginning through the resurrection. So do you have this light that John writes about, or are you living in darkness today? See, God is here among us. He has already come, and He is still coming, even in this moment. God is constantly available. He is here for those who will receive Him, for those who will call on His name. God is present. So what is it that keeps getting in the way? Is it our busyness? Is it our lack of understanding? Have we somehow missed the story? John, as he's writing, identifies the problem in verse 5 as darkness. Darkness is what distorts what we see. Many of you know that. I don't think you'll confess it this morning, but maybe when you were younger, you were a little afraid of the dark. Now, maybe in the back of your mind, you knew there wasn't really anything there, but the darkness distorted what you were seeing. It was the darkness that got your mind to begin to think that you were seeing things that weren't really there. Now, if you still are afraid of the dark, talk to me after the service. I'll pray with you. But John identifies the problem as darkness. Darkness distorts what we see, but thanks be to God this morning, the Word has come and His light is shining. So to those who will receive Him, He gives them the power to become children of God, people filled with His light. Children not born of a natural descent, but people born of the Spirit. So our beginning in Him, it bursts forth when we see the light, when we welcome the light, when we allow His light to survey our heart and our life. And we allow Him to fill us. And I'm so thankful this morning that no matter how dark it gets around us, His light is still shining. No matter how dark circumstances may be, God will provide the light that we need. John would later write in chapter 8, and he tells the story when Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You want to have the light of life, you have to have Jesus. He is the light of the world. But it's here and now. It's not just someday He's coming again. It is present and active. All that comes from Him is alive with His life. And Jesus says, whoever would follow Him will never walk in darkness. Challenging this morning. Whoever follows Him will never walk in darkness. So if you're struggling this morning with a situation in your life, if you're struggling with a sin, if you're entangled in something, are you following Him? Are you trusting Him? Whoever follows Him will never walk in darkness. Instead, they will have the light of life. One of the ways that His light shines is through the Holy Spirit's conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the things that are within us. So if there is any darkness in our life, if there's anything that is not of His light, Holy Spirit reveals that to us. So you want to live right? You need the life light. And it can be here and now, this morning. Sometimes I think we don't live our lives with urgency. It's not that we need to rush about and be worried and preoccupied with things, but we need to have a sense of urgency about the things of God. Do we understand this morning the opportunity that is before us as His people? The very God of creation, the God that we've sung about this morning, the God that we've read about who was in the beginning, is the same God that comes to us with love and says, "Follow me." Have you seen that light? And are you following Him? Paul writes in the letter to the Romans, he says, "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is." Paul is writing this 2,000 years ago. He says, there is a time, it's urgent, this is a big deal. You know how late it is, time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day. We are people of the light. We must live decent lives for all to see. So don't participate in the darkness. Don't be a part of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity, immoral living, or in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. When His light shines in our hearts and in our lives, we can choose to receive that light, or we can turn our backs to Him. So it's not a life of do's and don'ts. The question really this morning is, what way are you walking? Are you walking towards the light? Are you following after Him? Or have you slipped back and have you gone your own way? In a few moments, we're going to be invited to come to His table to partake in His meal. And I'm so thankful this morning that He welcomes all of His people to the table. So to receive communion this morning, to partake in the Lord's Supper, you don't have to be a member of our church. You just have to be a follower of Jesus, one who says, I have seen the light and I am trusting Him. I am following Him. He is Lord of my life. It's the invitation for us. But yet at the same time in Scripture, it is written that we should pause and reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts to make sure that there isn't anything in our life that is unworthy, because we don't want to come forward and receive the meal in an unworthy manner. But this morning, why on earth would you come forward to receive this gift of the meal and deny Him as Lord of your life? This morning, why would you choose darkness when the light is shining brightly? So before we come to His table, we're going to pause and pray together. And it's a simple moment of prayer. It's a moment of allowing the Holy Spirit to check us, to search our hearts. And if there's anything that the Lord brings to our mind, if there's anything that we're engaging in the darkness, let's be done with it this morning. Let's repent of our sin. Let's turn away from it and be done with it. Because He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. He cleanses us. He purifies us. He makes us white as snow so His light can shine in and through us. So let us quiet our hearts together and let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus. The one who was present before anything else. The Word that comes to us. The light that shines brightly. Father, this morning I pray that we would receive Your light. Lord, we open our lives to Your light. Shine Your light in and through us. If there's anything that does not belong, if there's anything of the darkness, Father, we surrender it. We repent of any sin in our life, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. So thankful for Your faithfulness, Lord. When we're unfaithful, You remain faithful. Father, hear our prayers this morning. Know our hearts, Lord. Fill us with the very love and light of Christ. And in a moment, Lord, as we come forward to receive this meal, May we come forward with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts that we have been blessed to receive and recognize your light and to allow you to shape us and form us as we follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.